Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Two down, two to go. Welcome into our third hour here of Sports Talk. Phone lines are open at 504-260-1870. Our WWL Blue Runner Gumbo opinion poll. Online at WWL.com. Which of these three 2019 Pro Football Hall of Fame inductees would you want in their prime with the Saints? Cornerback Champ Bailey, safety Ed Reed, and center slash offensive lineman Kevin Mawai, former LSU Tiger. Deuce McAllister, Saints all-time leading rusher, here with us. The Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. And Chris Blair, the voice of the LSU Tigers, set to join us after our first break here in about 10 minutes. LSU hitting the field for the first practice of fall camp. And Bobby's giving me the finger.
Yeah, no, the good finger. Christian and Deuce, I want your opinion on this. Because I think it's all about opportunity. But I'd be surprised if he does not win the job. You look at, okay, we're working on, like, kick return. You look today's special teams at the end of practice, kickoff return. You see him running reps, three or four different guys. They're doing the same thing with the punt return concept. I can tell you right now, I don't know what's going to happen. But Deuce, I think they brought him to camp for a reason. They invested in him. And you look at it, he's made plays now and then as a defensive back in the secondary. Kind of like a Chris Banjo, you know, when you're a special teams player. Who else I'm thinking? Justin Hardy. So, and that being Marcus
Sherrills.
Sherrills or Sherrills?
Marcus Sherrills.
Okay, well, you know what I'm talking
Sherrills.
About. Number 35, 10-year veteran. If you look at it, he was with the Vikings, 31 years of age. To me, I'd almost be surprised if he does not produce. I'm not talking about next year or the year after, this season.
As a punt returner?
As a punt returner.
Well, hold on a second.
I think he is the man, and he'll be the one that could turn things around and average like 10 yards of punt return.
Thomas Morstead spoke at length about Marcus Sherrills. You remember in 2017 in the playoff loss in the Minneapolis Miracle, Thomas Morstead tore cartilage in his ribs trying to tackle that rascal.
That's exactly right.
Listen to Thomas Morstead. Today's Saints training camp interviews and prime cuts are brought to you by the sound banking of First American Bank, a banking tradition since 1910. Pretty good insight there is what he said about he might be the best at receiving punts he's ever seen.
Christian, it's not you, it's not me, it's not Deuce, it's not Zach. No, come on. That's Thomas Morstead. You know the film he's watching, punt returners? And what's frustrating, if you're the best of the best and you're paying attention to detail when you are punting, go, man, that's a great punt. Most punt returners in the NFL will fair catch that. But like you said, the attitude, like, you know what? Well, they can't hit me until at least touch the ball. You know who was like that in the past? I would say Deion Sanders, Pac-Man Jones, and right here our very own from South Terrebonne, Clarence Verdam. They'd be like, come on. But they put me back here to return punts. I had the fair catch.
Dude, so now you can't fumble. A few in your life. What does it take to sit there and say, you know what? I'm just going to catch this ball. I'm not going to fair catch it. And I don't care.
If those jammers don't get a clean jam on the gunners, and so you're talking about the guys that are holding up the gunners, particularly if it's two on one, you're in trouble. And then if it's a long, if it's a heavy hang time, you know, you always say, hey, look, I got to make the first guy miss. But if he's clean, man, you just got to fair catch it and live to see another day.
So you're watching the gunners.
No, I'm watching the ball.
Right, but are you peeking? Yeah, that's what I mean.
You got to peek.
And he's trusted in his teammates, the gunners.
Well, particularly if it's a holdup. It's a holdup, then hold him up. And, you know, just let me catch it clean. You always want to make the first guy miss. You make the first guy miss, then you've got to find the seam. And so whether it's a wall, return left, return right, or up the middle, doesn't really matter. But you've got to make that first guy miss, and then the gunners have to slow down. I mean, the guys that are holding up the jammers have to slow down the gunners.
Well, and the same thing, because I like historical records.
Bobby, before you go there, and the one thing Marcus Sherrills probably has, not to say he has anything on the other guys, but he's played in the dome for the last, what, couple of years that he was in Minnesota?
9 years.
Not just, I mean, he's played in a dome. And so,
aside from lighting, the year they were in Minnesota.
Yeah, when they build a new stadium. Right.
Yeah, but I mean, the lighting, that's another thing that you have to take in consideration when you catch it. I mean, it's not necessarily the sunlight all the time, but it's the lighting. And so, locating that ball, you have to see it off the foot. You see it off the punter's foot. And then that gives you at least a jump that you need to be able to get underneath the ball. And so, the next thing you're going to do, you always judge. All right, Thomas talked about, you know, him averaging right at 40 yards. So for me as a returner, I want to put my heels at 40 yards. And now, Bobby, if he gets a good one clean, I only have to back up 2 to 3 steps. You know, maybe I start back at 42 yards, and so now I have to step up 1 or 2 steps to catch it clean. But you have to take a look as far as peeking to see where those guys are if you're not planning on fair catching it. Now, if it's one short and I've got to run a while, then I'm fair catching it right away. You know, you like to catch them on the run moving. But, man, I mean, if you just want to catch it, yeah, going forward,
well,
you just want to catch it first. But if one where you got to really hustle, like we saw last night, the guy muffed it and fumbled it, you got to fair catch that.
No, you can be kamikaze and go up, but you can't fumble. Well, and then if you do muff it, they get somebody else.
Good luck with that.
Now, let me tell you.
We got Chris Blair coming in here.
Well, I before we go to break, I couldn't make my damn point about the other punt returners. This is some good information.
I'll write it down, and we'll
get
back to
it. Write it down. You better come back.
All right. I'll get it between the breaks. This is Sports Talk here on WWL. Bobby, you calm down a little bit, man? You all right? You good?
No, my blood pressure is fine.
We got to get him some coffee.
I'm geeked up.
We have to play these commercials, just so you know. Chris Blair, the voice of the LSU Tigers, joining us now. Chris, how are you, man?
Doing good. I have no idea what I'm doing on with these three great football minds. I got no business being on here.
Please. Chris, how was the first day of practice for the LSU Tigers?
Well, it was good. You know, I mean, it's the start of a new year, so everybody every year is, you know, kind of fired up. But I think, you know, being around Coach a couple of times this week, I mean, he's kind of set the tone. And I kind of felt like there was even a little more of a pep in the step, if you will, on opening day, getting out on the field in the practice facility. So, you know, I know it's easy to say because it's day one and everybody's excited, from the players to the equipment managers, to the coaches, and certainly fans. But, you know, I think the most exciting thing for us in the media is, you know, in the spring we saw some of these new things offensively, and I think a lot of us kind of thought, okay, they're working on some new concepts. But, you know, I don't know about a total overhaul, but, you know, right out of the gate today when they started doing some drills and working together, you kind of see it looks a lot different, especially offensively, for this Tiger football team.
Now, Chris, you look at that recent Tiger history. You look at Patrick Peterson, how dominant he was and what the NFL perceived him to be. And obviously that's transferred from, you know, college football to the pros. And then I look at Honey Badger, Tyrann Mathieu, what he's done. And I think he turned his life around and had the right mentor and Pat Pete. And then look how much he's called upon in the NFL. But Grant Delpit, I mean, could he be one of those special guys that you put in that category that he's not only very good but, like, actually great, like a Patrick Peterson or Tyrann Mathieu?
You know, Bobby, what's funny is that, you know, I was talking to somebody yesterday, and there were some, you know, in the national media talking about he may be, if not the best defensive back in the SEC, maybe arguably one of the best in the country. And then you'll see as the season goes along, I mean, the expectations are going to be so high for him, you'll immediately start hearing some of the pundits talk about, you know, what he can translate to the next level. And I just laughed. I said, you know, I imagine you could go back and talk about the guys that you just talked about, that you just illustrated, and others over the years, that, you know, that the expectations are so high that you start to nitpick certain things. And to be honest with you, I mean, he's got all the tools. He's got the experience. He's got the confidence of his coaches. He's got everything that you need to be arguably one of the best in the NCAA this year. And, you know, when you look at what has been produced at LSU, especially in the defensive backfield, going to the next level, I think right now, it's almost as if it's the norm. It would have to be something, you know, completely sideways for him not to be able to make that next leap when that time comes, because there's too much evidence now from what's being done from the coaching staff, the program, and really the pride that these guys take when they slap on that uniform and especially play on the back half of the defense. So, yeah, I think he can really have a standout year. And I looking forward to most people talking about him, moving to the next level and what kind of impact he'll have and what we'll be saying about Grant Delpit in 4 to 5 years.
Chris Blair, the voice of the LSU Tigers, at LSU Tigers Voice here or on Twitter, here on Sports Talk. And Kalevon Chasson and offensive lineman Lloyd Cushenberry III will wear number 18 jerseys. Kalevon Chasson, that coveted 18 jersey, coming off that ACL injury. How's he looked?
He looks good. I mean, he looks like he's got, the step is back. He's got the speed and power. And, it was – you guys know it as well as I do. I mean, it was a big loss. Not just because you didn't have him there and you kind of were expecting big things, but as the season went along, there were certain instances, and we talked about it on the air, where there were certain plays or certain things that didn't happen defensively on the field, and you couldn't help but wonder, how that individual play would have been impacted with him either making a play or just making people stay away from him. And that's kind of what LSU was doing without. And, he looks good. I mean, he actually looks much better. I mean, he looks like one of the guys you would see playing on Sunday. I mean, that's how impressive he was to me, when the guys reported yesterday. And then to see him out there today, with the helmet on, it was like, this guy looks like the real deal. So, I mean, he's poised to have, just like Grant Delpit, but he's poised to have just a monster year. Coach O, I had dinner with him on Tuesday night, and I know he talked to the Rotary in Baton Rouge later in the week, and he's kind of already kind of set the tone a little bit that he's looking for a 10 to 12 sack season. So I know part of that is to get fans pumped up, but I think a lot of it also is to motivate Kalevon.
Chris, is there a position group that you want to really see how they come together in this fall camp? Whether we're talking quarterbacks, receivers, offensive line. Is there a group that you want to see? So it's going to be the offensive line. What do you think that they have to do to really solidify, what they're trying to do from an offensive standpoint?
I think one is offensive line. I think 1A would probably be defensive line. And for me, guys, I think the big thing is now that you've got some numbers. I mean, you look back the last couple of years, due to injuries and other issues, you get game one or 3 weeks into the season and all of a sudden you've got guys that are out there taking the majority of snaps without a break. And, I know these guys are highly talented. I know they're big. I know they're strong. They're athletic. But, when you're playing offenses that are up there 85 to 90 plays, I mean, that's hard to do when you don't have any rotation. There's a couple of guys on the offensive line like Sadiq Charles who, obviously has a lot of experience now. Some of which I think probably was a little sooner than the coaching staff would have liked to have him out there as much as he was. But I think he can benefit from that coming into this year. He struggled at times last season, and everybody was able to see it. I mean, there were times when it was just blatantly obvious that he had been beat, didn't have the right technique. And I know he's worked on that. But if Sadiq Charles and I think Austin Deculus, those are the two to watch. But I think because now Coach O and the staff have, two, and Coach O told me Tuesday, maybe three deep in that position. As fall camp goes along, they're not going to have to lean on everybody or one, four guys the entire time. Everybody's going to get reps. Everybody's going to get some experience. And then when the season starts, knock on wood, you don't have anything unfortunate happen, you're not going to have to rely on those guys to play as many snaps in a game on both offense and defensive line. And I think because now you have bodies, obviously, with the recruiting job that Coach O has done, I mean, he's got some talent now. So now you're not relying on 4 to 5 guys to have to be the anchor for, 12-plus weeks. And I think that's key. You got to stay healthy, obviously. But I think if they can keep that and be able to rotate some guys, keep fresh guys in the trenches, I think that's the one to watch. Because I don't think there's really a lot of question marks on a lot of your skill positions. Obviously, you want to see those guys take a step further. And then some of the newcomers, you want to see what they can do, like a John Emery. I expect to see him get up plenty of totes this year. But if the offensive and the defensive line can stay healthy and not have to rely on 4 or 5 guys to get the job done every week, I think that's going to really take LSU where they want to go.
Now, Chris, when you look at, obviously, how tough the SEC West is, or just – you playing, we didn't know what was going to occur against University of Miami to kick off the season out against Texas. You could be come September the 7th or come October the 12th when you got the Florida Gators at home, October 26th, Auburn. You go on the road at Alabama the 9th or whoever it might be, November 30th at A&M, when it could come down to a game-winning kick. A lot of times people don't realize, well, look, it's a battle in the trenches, but it could come down to, you know, we look what Cole Tracy did, significant kicks, and now the void that he's left. Do you think it's freshman Cade York, can he handle that pressure? Because, you know, think about how this is magnified, whether or not how we feel about the team, whether Cade York would make a kick or not.
You know, Ed said the other night jokingly, he said, you know, I can't watch him, but I've heard that he's done a great job. He said, you know, we've talked about how he's doing in preparation for fall camp, and he said, you know, I'm splitting the uprights, and that made Ed smile a little bit. But, no, it's a big boy, and you're exactly right. When you look at the schedule they have, which I find is funny, last year was a very difficult schedule, and I've heard some of the national media talk about how, you know, LSU may be in the driver's seat here because their schedule is not as tough. That's true. It may not be as tough as last year's, but it's no, walk in the park by any stretch of the imagination. But, you know, those are the type of games, especially when you go on the road in the SEC, especially when you go on a big, even though it's not a traditional rivalry over the last couple of years, it's going to be a rivalry grudge match in Austin. Let's, you know, right. Make no mistake about it. And in those type games that are so big, I mean, Texas, their season could be sprung forward by the win there. Obviously, LSU gets right where they want to be early on in the season. Yeah, you know, those special teams moments are huge. And I think that's why, you know, having the coordinator now who has the experience, obviously, in the NFL and with New Orleans, and he just does a tremendous job. And I think that they're confident this young man is going to be able to come in and make the kicks he's just supposed to make. And those are key. You know, we forget that a lot of times.
Right.
You know, we look at 50-yard field goals and, you know, are they accurate from 45 and out? But, boy, when you line up, you know, say in a overtime game that, I don't know, goes 7 overtimes or so, and the first couple of kicks are huge. So every time you get a chance to split the uprights, you got to do it. And they've got a lot of confidence that he's going to be able to do that. And actually, you know, in special teams altogether, they're going to have some battles here in fall camp for the punting position. Von Rosenberg obviously is kind of the long specialist guy, but with Grout moving on to somewhere else, Avery Atkins, who handled kickoffs last year superbly, I think is also getting a little rotation at punter too. So I think special teams, it's one of those things that Ed has said since day one he does not take lightly. And it's true. It's the way they work. They put an emphasis on it, and it's going to be on the foot, so to speak, of Von Rosenberg, who's pretty veteran as far as things go. And then with Cade coming in, he's highly touted. We'll see what he can do when the ball gets snapped out and, you know, laces out or laces in, whatever he prefers.
Chris Blair, voice of the LSU Tigers. We'll see you down the line, man. Thanks.
No, thanks, guys. Have a great weekend.
All right, at Chris. LSU Tigers voice. Our CBS and local news headlines here on WWL and then back at Sports Talk. Deuce, what do you think? Should I make Bobby wait and talk about these returners before he throws a special team? Before he throws a temper tantrum?
Not if you want this studio to stay the way it is.
I'm being patient.
He's going to toss all kind of stuff out the window.
Let's get back to the other returners aside from Marcus Shirelles.
Okay, I think he's going to win the job first off, okay? The one that doesn't even need to be back there, I don't know, Sean Payton just throwing him a bone, Coach Payton, Austin Carr. What? Austin Carr, okay, one thing you know he can do, but I think all the other guys, they're fielding the ball properly and, you know, they're not inconsistent. It's not like Ted Ginn sometimes fumbling the ball or I think Alvin Kamara has struggled at times to be a punt returner fielding it cleanly. So Austin Carr would be a poor man's Lance Moore. Okay, let me call a fair catch and make sure I catch it and get no yards. We're not averaging anything, so that would also—that's what Austin Carr could do. So,
but you retain possession.
Yes, but I think the other guys can retain possession. That being Shirelles, Marcus Shirelles, and I think this guy could do it. You know why I think he can do it? Now, I'm not paying him anything because he's made like college football history. Deontay Harris.
He got to practice. You can't make the Can't make the club in the tub.
No, I agree with that, Deuce.
He ain't got enough skins on the wall.
No, to be taking practices off. But I just think I've watched him field the ball, and I just think he has the ability. He's only 5'6", 170 pounds. You know, we thought Darren Sproles was little. Well, he's very Darren. He's little. Now, but all I know is he's – now, you might say –
Bobby likes to point out when people are little.
No, Christian, listen, all of a sudden – Deontay Harris is looking up to you. I mean,
I don't know about that.
No, but I mean, height wise, you'd be.
No, that's what I'm saying. I don't know about that. He might be the same size as me.
No, you're not. Are you only 5'6"? See, you've been lying
no,
to me.
No, I'm 5'7".
Yeah. Come on. Keep it real now, Christian. But Deontay Harris, I just look at, you might say Assumption College, whatever. All I know is that he's the all time leading kick return and punt return and college football history.
So how many times have you seen him do it this week?
None, but I saw him at the beginning, OTA's minicamp. That being said, he looks like he knows what he's doing. So that's why I want to see him against the Vikings or whatever in a preseason game, not in practice. I want to throw him out there in the game.
So would they keep him just to return punts?
No. Now, if he did something in preseason to prove differently, I would still not trust him over Sherrill's. I would not trust him yet. But that would be a guy, and you might lose him. You might not lose him. I definitely keep him on the practice squad because I think the ability's there, and I think it's so important. If somehow he would develop, any NFL would keep him, Deuce. If you could say that this cat, Deontay Harris.
He was undrafted.
But listen, if you could say that he would average, just say a handful of years or half a dozen years, going to average 10 yards, 10, 11, 12 yards of punt return. He's making a lot of teams.
Well, he can make a team depending on the structure, but Bobby, is he behind the other young receivers?
Yeah, he's behind, but I still – see, if he wouldn't have – he's behind Sherrill, so that's why I say practice squad. I don't even got him on the roster because I don't think he's better than Marcus Sherrill considering the skins he has on the wall. And I know I'm almost positive he's going to be double-digit, not only with the Vikings, but I think he's going to do that in the Saints uniform.
But, I mean, I think he's not only behind Sherrill's, but he's probably behind – he's behind Austin. He's behind Grayson.
He ain't behind Austin. Austin's fair catch. He ain't – now, Grayson, now that's a different thing. I think the third banana is Grayson. I think the track guy from LSU, I think he's caught the ball clean. You know what I'm interested in Grayson? Because I know he could do this play. We've seen him catch long balls, catch bombs, get behind defenders. And I know Sean Payton's going to do this. They're going to run a jet sweep with him.
Yeah, we saw him run Teddy a couple times today.
Yep. Run a jet sweep, throw him a bomb, whether vertical or a skinny post or post, and then they're going to let him return a punt. They have to because I think he has that kind of ability. No, I think we're in the best position we've been in, Deuce. Now, I'm not going to say Darren Sproles. We had Reggie Bush since Darren Sproles. We're in the best position right now. They didn't even play the preseason game. I think in the punt return game since Darren Sproles.
I mean, I think you have.
They way better than Tommy Lee Lewis.
Yeah, well,
Tommy
Lee Lewis. I think you got some capable guys. But for me, I just think Austin Carr is going to give you something at receiver that you haven't seen from some of the other receivers. I mean, from some of the other returners. You know, and that if you're making a squad. Not to say that any of them are on a squad, but I'm just saying if you're looking at how you make this roster.
I don't know. Deuce, I understand about Austin Carr, but I view him, and maybe it's unfair to him, I kind of view him as not as good as Lance Moore or a Willie Sneed. So, and I look at him as
Until the injury, Emmanuel Butler outplayed him, so did Keith Kirk.
Okay, but I'm just looking even in the slot. It's like I have more expectations for that slot receiver, more on the Lance Moore or Willie Sneed level. And I think Austin Carr, okay, he's like, I don't know. Austin Carr to me is like a practice squad for life. I mean, I don't look at him.
Like Andy Tanner?
Yes, he's a better version of Andy Tanner. What does that mean? Is that NFL level? I don't know. Go fair catch a punt. I mean, that might work
watch
now
out.
And then.
Zach's going to come in here and get you for talking about his guy like that.
Northwestern guy.
Yeah, is that? Come on, Zach, keep it real.
This is Sports Talk on WWL.
No. I like little guys when they hard. I like hard guys.
Well played, Mark Menard, Master Control. Welcome back to Sports Talk.
Don't you like little hard guys? I don't like soft like little guys like Brandon Cooks. I like little hard guys like Steve Smith, Antonio Brown, right?
Sure.
I mean, you have to listen. who do you want? I always say, like, if your back's to the wall, and you get in a confrontation, and it's just like man to man, and you don't have any help. No, you want, if the guy is small, if he's hard, then you want him on your side.
Yep, I'm with you. I'm just not going to say it quite like you said.
Leave it alone.
That's right. WWL congratulates Kenneth Lynn.
Falling hard sometimes.
Kenneth Lynn will be our guest at the Saints VIP tailgate experience at Benson Tower on Sunday, September 29th. Tickets valued at $174 a pair. Listen to Sports Talk all next week for more chances to win the Saints VIP tailgate experience. Now, the game tickets are not included in this. Go Saints from Cam Jordan, Bullseye Event Group, and Saints Radio WWL. Phone lines are open at 504-260-1870. Text 870-870. Talked about the return games, the returners as well. And I'm looking at Josh Hill today, and I was watching the tight ends versus linebackers in one-on-one pass rush. Jared Cook did not take one rep as a rush defender. And he doesn't need
well,
to. Doesn't
you,
have
you mean
to.
as a pass blocker tight end?
Pass blocker.
Yeah, he's a blocker.
Yep.
Josh Hill, though, and you can see why they keep him around. He is very good there.
No, because at times the tight end does have to stay in block. And listen, the Deuce will tell you this. When a defense
Josh
is coming,
Hill won every rep.
Okay. And when a defense is coming after the quarterback, and a lot of times the offensive line gets the blame, what if the running back is sorry or the tight end sorry? And pass protected, their responsibility. The O-line's terrible. No, it was the tight end to do their job or the running back. That's why I think Josh Hill, what he does on special teams, run blocking and pass protecting, that speaks volumes. Now, Jared Cook, we just free-releasing him. We not Deuce, Alvin Kamara. I think at times, okay, go out on the route. And they put the pressure on Drew, considering we're not going to max protect. We're going to try and attack the defense and see how they're going to cover. Because, you know, they might green dog where, you know, dudes, they come and think they're blitzing. I got to guard Alvin Kamara. And if Alvin Kamara leaks out, then they got to follow him. Or the same thing with a tight end. They'll slow play. You know what I'm talking about.
No, I know exactly what you're talking
about. Yeah. So, to me, Jared Cook, Alvin Kamara, send them out on the route. Josh Hill, pass blocking, he'll get it done.
He got it done today. Like I said, he won just about every rep he went up against. Didn't matter who he was going up against.
I could watch a little bit of. I focused on the backs in that right. Drill. I watched a little bit of the tight ends, but I was just focusing on the backs.
Even Dan Arnold, we talked to him after practice a little bit today, and he said he's much more comfortable run blocking. He's not getting tossed around nearly as much as he was last year. You remember coming in as a rookie.
Well, if he wants to make the team, you know, go from a big wide receiver to tight end, that's right. What he has to do.
Right. And also, one of the fascinating things I love hearing from these rookies that are making that step in year two is they're all not thinking. If it looks like Dan Arnold,
he can play faster.
Yeah, if it looks like Dan Arnold's faster, he's not necessarily faster. It's just because he knows what he's doing now.
Well, it becomes second nature and you're more comfortable. Then what happens when it's second nature, you're more confident.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, I think this is what I got to do. What? Come on, you're a day late and a dollar short. The play's over.
You're beat.
You're beat. Listen, you half-stepping, and we don't need no half-stepping. We need to go full speed, know what you're doing.
Got to win now.
If you do that, then you got a chance to contribute.
Jim on Highway 90, what's going on? Jim, you're on WWL.
Hey, I know I'm backtracking on you guys a little bit, but I agree with Bobby's assessment of this punt returner that could become something. And I know he played a different position, but if you remember, J.J. McCleskey was a cover guy on kickoffs and punt returns, and I loved him. He was like a little kamikaze, you know? His position was corner.
Right.
And he finally got his chance when he went to Arizona. And for a few games, he lit up the league on on cornerback, and then he got career-ending injury.
And
guys can get it done.
Small guys get it done. And Jim, I think now, Deuce, I think you know on top of this, I think you're coaching at Tulane.
Yeah.
His son's the wide receiver from Oklahoma State that transferred.
J.J. was a receiver. J.J. started as a receiver, and then he switched over to defensive back.
Yeah. When you look at it, the size does not bother me. He's like he's tall enough. He's 5'10". He's taller than you, Christian. He's 5'10", but he's 175. He is thin. But I've watched Holly's track the ball in the air on a punt. I mean, Holly embraces it. Holly catches it, and I agree with Marcus with Thomas Morstead about.
You're talking about Marcus Sherrills.
Yeah. How, Deuce? He never looks like, oh, I misjudged that punt. I'm out of position. Now you can luck out. He just seems like he's in the right place, whether he's coming up for the punt return or he's going back. He just catches it clean.
Jim, thanks for the phone call. Shake It Down Daddy, you're up next here on Sports Talk on WWL. You know it's pretty much football season when Shake It Down Daddy starts calling. And what's going on, Shake It Down Daddy?
Oh, Friday night, Shake It Down. What's up?
What you got, man? I ain't heard from you for a while.
I want to be sure. I know, man. Since I laid that three safety look with – they're going to put on them this year with the new safeties they drafted.
Oh, yeah, with Chauncey Garner, oh, for sure.
Yeah, that's what they're doing, a three safety look again. Look, I'm just so glad we got a top 10 tight end again. I'm so glad. I know we went after Humphreys in free agency. We didn't quite get him, but it was obviously you've seen a need Sean had to get him more surrounding cast. Tejan Jr. healthy. Traquan another year. Smith another year under his belt. I just feel like, Drew, you know, no quarterback's the same at the end of a game that he is at the beginning of a game. But with the age that he's at now, you know, he needs all the help he can get at the end of games, I feel. And man, Jared Cook, you know, it's just going to be so much better this year, I feel, with the support. You know, I think you get more goal line with Murray. I think he'll be at the goal line more than Ingram was at the goal line, taking the carries over. And I just want to know what you think about that, Bobby. You know,
Well, I can tell you, if Latavius Murray – because Kamara's the man. Alvin Kamara is the running back. And I think he wants to be that running back. I think he's embracing that challenge. I think he was humble enough to share the wealth with Mark Ingram. But I think Alvin Kamara thinks, he knows he's the man. Now, what does that mean in touches? He don't want to address that. I tried to bring it up to him. But if Murray, whatever it takes to not settle for field goals, get in the end zone, his touchdowns come inside the 10-yard line. So if Murray can just do that, get in the end zone, we're getting touchdowns, not settling for field goals, I think that speaks volumes right there.
I think you're selling Latavius Murray a little short. I don't think you're giving enough credit to run a ball outside of the red zone or inside the 10.
No, I'm just going, Christian, I'm going to look at my notes. I already said this on the show. You don't remember. And it shows you don't remember. Look at his production.
You are salty today.
In the past, that's what he's done.
In the past, over half, more than half of his touchdowns, and his 30-something has come inside the 10-yard line.
I think the Saints
are going to use him that way.
It sounds like you don't think he's going to be able to run.
He ain't having no 30, 40-yard touchdown run. He might have
that's
now.
That's fine.
He might now and then. He might have one, but he has not. His bread and butter has been, I don't know, Mark brought this up. What do you call the fantasy guy that steals touchdowns inside
the vulture.
He's been the ultimate fantasy vulture. We're inside the 10-yard line. No, I remember Mark telling me that. When all of a sudden you might have another workhorse, and then Latavius Murray comes in, all of a sudden a 3-yard touchdown run, and he steals it. No, that's a good thing because you're not settling for field goals. You're getting touchdowns. If he just does that and Deuce, okay, I'm gonna ask you this, because. What do you view Murray as a pass? Like, because Mark Ingram was unbelievable. Murray, there's no way he's on the level of Mark Ingram pass blocking. And what he would do, is he somewhat like that or what?
I think he's somewhat. I don't know if he's comfortable yet.
Okay.
You know, because Mark, after a couple years, I think he got better as a pass blocker. But I still need to see it. Even today during the drill, thought he did a pretty good job. You know, I thought he did a pretty good job as far as picking up the blitz. And I think for him, it's just going to be having the comfort level of almost being second nature, working with the offensive line and Drew. And, I mean, that's where Mark had it. He was hands and fists over all the guys because he knew what was going on.
You have to adjust on the move.
Yeah, he knew what was going on.
Chris, you might have your assignment, then all of a sudden you snap your finger and it changes.
Yeah, somebody gets beat and he can go over and help him.
Yeah, exactly. Got their back. That's what Mark Ingram did. Deuce, Mark Ingram, to me, was amongst the best. At what you just said, having the O-lines back, one of the best, if not the best, in the NFL when it came to pass pro.
Bobby Deuce and Christian here on Sports Talk. Phone lines are open. Shake it down, Daddy. Thanks for the phone call. You can jump in at 504-260-1870. Text 870-870. A reminder, the Dunk Tank QB Challenge on Monday. Yours truly will be in the Dunk Tank. And Bobby will not hit the mark with one football. I'm convinced of that.
Well, I might hit the mark, but I might have, I don't know, powder puff arm, what do you call, pea shooter. Just like, oh, well, I hit it, but it wasn't hard enough.
I've got something really, really good for you. Just
Chris, you think you're going to offend me?
Come on. I'm not going to offend you. I know I can't.
Yeah.
You're not easily offended.
No, I'm going to go.
But I'm going to have some fun with you.
I'm going to go feed you some blue chew when you're in the dunk tank.
Okay.
I like to see that.
You're going to feed me blue chew.
On the dunk tank.
I don't know what the purpose of that is, but whatever.
No, just to get your mind off and get you flustered.
Jake Madison, Locked On Pelicans podcast, coming up next hour. This is Sports Talk on WWL.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.